And welcome to the DX Audio Service, this one for August 1985. Hello, I'm Fred Vobey. And along for the ride is Jerry Starr, Bob Walker, Phil Wayne, and the new kid on the block is John Bowker, who you'll hear from on side two of this cassette. Well, I guess we should get right to the business at hand here on the audio service. If you remember on last month's edition, I made mention that I have a new address. Now, before you panic and say, uh-oh, he's moved again. No, I haven't. I told you that my address is 706 McKenzie in Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. Well, I had something kind of interesting happen when I went down to the store last night, which I thought you might find a little bit amusing. As I did my trek down to Clyde Evans Supermarket last night, I noticed that the sign at the end of McKenzie was spelled M-A-C-K-E-N-Z-I-E. Well, I decided to go down to the other end of the road, in which case I found that it was spelled M-C-K-E-N-Z-I-E. Well, I'll tell you something. I have yet to figure out how the street can be spelled two different ways, but anyways, it is. And which way should you spell it? I guess I'll leave that up to you. Whichever way you feel it should be pronounced, spelled, or what have you. It is 706 McKenzie, though, I can guarantee you that. And it is in Lima, Ohio, 45805. And that is my Star Trek for today. Anyways, let's get right on to Jerry Starr with the AM Switch column. And as we did to Jerry several issues back, we started him off with the network news logo and then asked you to identify the network and the news logo itself. So we'd like to do it this time for the AM Switch column. So let's introduce Jerry with this cut, and then right afterwards, you tell us what network it came from. Jerry?
Hi, this is Jerry Starr with another edition of AM Switch for the DX Audio Service from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News. As with the last report, the call letter change column has been very active with a number of changes taking place since we last talked to you. And here they are in order of frequency. On 640, the new station in Mount Holly, New Jersey will be WWJZ. They had first applied for WMHN, which we reported last month. Those calls were set aside, and their new calls will be, when they come on the air, WWJZ. On 750, new station in Brookport, Illinois, WZOM. 850, KLEU, Waterloo, Iowa, changes to KWOF. 850, WJW, Cleveland, Ohio, becomes WRMR. We first reported that they were going to change to the calls WESM, which they had first applied for. Those calls were set aside, and WRMR is the new call, and that call has been on the air for quite some time now. On 860, KLTQ in Salt Lake City becomes KUTR. On 870, a new station in Lachlan, Nevada will be KROL. 900, KUEN, Wenatchee, Washington becomes KGSA. On 910, KVVA, Volga, South Dakota changes to KJJQ. 970, KSAX, Fort Worth, Texas changes to KHVN. On 980, WBOP, Pensacola, Florida becomes WCHZ. Two changes on 990, WPIK, Flomaton, Alabama changes to WRBK. And WLTS in New Orleans, Louisiana, new call was WYAT. On 1040, new station in Louisville, North Carolina will be WSGH. 1060, WHNI, Mebane, North Carolina, changes to WMYT. On 1070, KOPY in Alice, Texas, changes to KDSI. 1130, new station in Dillon, Colorado will be KHTH. On 1170, KSGR, Windsor, Colorado will become KFSC. Couple changes on 1190, both new stations. St. Mary's, Georgia will be WECC, and Hughesville, Pennsylvania will be WKDJ. On 1210, new station in San Juan, Texas becomes KUBR. On 1220, WEZG, North Syracuse, New York becomes WUSR. On 1230, three changes. WGGG, Gainesville becomes WEGZ. WNVY in Pensacola, Florida, takes up the call WBOP, which was just released by the other station in Pensacola we reported a few moments ago. And KKER in Spokane, Washington becomes KRSS. On 1260, KOIT, San Francisco, California becomes KXLR. 1320 News Station in Coleman, Florida, WHOF. 1340 KCWM Victoria, Texas, changes to KAMG. 1350 WKGE Darlington, South Carolina, changes back to their old call of WDAR. WWBR Winbur, Pennsylvania, changes to WBEM. On 1400, two changes. KTRT Truckee, California, changes to KKMK. And KNDE in Visalia, California, becomes KVIS. On 1410, WYLQ Kingston, Tennessee, becomes WBBX. 1500, WLVQ in Detroit changes to WCZY. On 1510, WVAP Burnettown, South Carolina changes to WWWA. 1540, KMIA in Fort Worth, Texas changes to KUQQ. KMIA was a call originally applied for by a new owner. When the sale of the station fell through, that call was scrubbed and the original call, KUQQ, was retained. That sale is still in litigation, so there's still a possibility that KMIA may return to this frequency, and on the next report we should have more news on that. On 1570, news station in Grover City, California will be KTOR. Also on 1570, WFBZ in Minocqua, Wisconsin will become WMYM. Three changes on 1580, WKLH, St. John's, Michigan becomes WGZS, WHEX, Columbia, Pennsylvania becomes WNZT, and WORG in Orangeburg, South Carolina becomes WBLO. And finally on 1600, KXVA in Plano, Texas changes to KTNS. Let's take a look at some applications which have recently been tendered for new stations, and again, quite a few of them have been filed for. On 540, Carmel Valley, California, 500 watts day. 550, Sun Valley, Nevada, 500 day. On 680, Newburgh, Kentucky, 500 day and night. And also in Okolona, Kentucky, on 680, 2500 watts daytime. On 700, Coppell, Texas, 500 watts day and night. 740, Dishman, Washington, 500 watts daytime. 830, Lithia Springs, Georgia, 50,000 day, 1,000 night. Also on 830, in Sanssouci, South Carolina, 5,000 day, 500 night. That's a reapplication. On 850, Waldport, Oregon, 250 watts full-time. 900, Del Norte, Colorado, 1,000 watts daytime only. On 1050, Fraser Park, California, 2,500 watts day. And in Kinsey, Montana, 500 watts day. On 1120, another application in Manor, Texas, this one for a kilowatt daytime only. On 1130, in Milan, New Mexico, 500 watts daytime. On 1160, Callahan, Florida, 50,000 day, 500 night. And Woodville, Florida, 5,000 day, 250 night. On 1170, St. Augustine Beach, Florida, 2,500 daytime. And Hastings, Florida, 5,000 daytime. On 1260, Ellisville, Mississippi, 2,500 watts day. And on 1520, Camden Town, Missouri, 2,500 watts day. Those are all applications for new broadcast facilities. A number of applications have been granted for new facilities, and they include on 720, Universal City, Texas, 5,000 day, 1,000 night. 730, Lake Placid, Florida, 250 watts daytime only. On 840 in Ball, Louisiana, a kilowatt day. On 1030, Mint Hill, North Carolina, 10,000 watts day. 1040, St. Joseph's, Missouri, 2,500 daytime. And Louisville, North Carolina, 10,000 watts daytime. On 1070, West Klamath, Oregon, 10,000 watts daytime. 1100, Highlands, North Carolina, 5,000 day. 1120, Concord, Massachusetts, 1,000 day and night. 1130, Dillon, Colorado, 5,000 day. 1160, Mobile, Alabama, 10,000 daytime, 1,000 night. On 1170, Collierville, Tennessee, 1,000 day. On 1190, Hughesville, Pennsylvania, 1,000 day. Two new ones on 1200, Lebanon, Tennessee, 5,000 watts day and night. And Mount Carmel, Tennessee, 10,000 day, 250 night. On 1210, San Juan, Texas, 10,000 day, 1,000 night. 1290, Kanab, Utah, 5,000 daytime. And on 1490, Salina, Utah, 1,000 watts full time. A number of applications have been tendered by existing facilities, and we'll take a look at some of the highlights for you. On 590, WLVA Lynchburg, Virginia wants to raise their day power to 5,000 watts. 770, WEW St. Louis, Missouri wants to raise power to 10,000 watts. On 860, WSON Henderson, Kentucky wants to go full-time by adding 500 directional watts at night. On 1110, KBND Bend, Oregon wants to change their critical hours power to 12,500 watts. on 1240 WMPA, Aberdeen, Mississippi, wants to lower their power day and night to 770 watts. On 1330 WKEA, Scottsboro, Alabama, wants to go full-time by adding 500 watts directional at night. On 1530 KTCR, Wagoner, Oklahoma, wants to raise their power to 840 watts. That's another one of those new intermediate power applications. And on 1580 WEYY, Talladega, Alabama, wants to change city of license to Oxford, Alabama. A number of grants have been made to existing stations, again, most of them for very minor changes, most of those a change in antenna system. But here are some highlights that may affect your DXing activities. On 810 WDDD, Johnson City, Illinois, becomes full-time by adding 500 watts directional at night. On 870 KIEV, Glendale, California, day power to 10,000 watts. The antenna changes to U4, that's separate patterns day and night. On 880 KIKR, Conroe, Texas, raises their night power to 1,000 watts. On 1010 WCBF, Tampa, Florida, goes full-time by adding 500 directional watts at night and moves their city of license to Sefner, Florida. On 1130 KMBR, Bismarck, North Dakota, will be 50,000 day, 5,000 nights U4 and will move to Lincoln, North Dakota. 1150 KNED, McAllister, Oklahoma, night power to 1,000 watts. 1270 WCGC, Belmont, North Carolina, raises their day power to 5,000 watts and changes their antenna system to U4. On 1290 WJBR, Wilmington, Delaware, raises power to 2,500 watts. On 1380 WWKY, Winchester, Kentucky, raises power to 2,500 watts. 1390 WISA, Isabella, Puerto Rico, raises night power to 1,000 watts. On 1420 KJCK in Junction, Kansas, goes full-time by adding 500 watts directional at night. On 1440 WBIS, Bristol, Connecticut, has been granted their move to 1120 kilohertz. There'll be a kilowatt day, 500 watts night, and directional nights only. And finally, on 1600 WKBJ, Milan, Tennessee, raises their power to 2,500 watts. Let's scan down through some of the highlights of our otherness column, news and notes from around the broadcasting and DXing business. First of all, in 540 KKAR in Hesperia, California, their target date has been moved back again. This time, they're announcing a target date of 1186. On 590 WAFC, new station in Clewiston, Florida, according to the station, they expect to be on the air by, quote, late fall. 800 KQIN, Burien, Washington, has begun the initial test of their new facility on 820 kilohertz and has requested an extension of the CP for 820. On 1140 WONQ, Pine Hills, Florida, according to a source at the station, they will be on by, quote, late July. So by the time this reaches you, if they're good for their word, that station may already be on the air. On 1160 WYRU, Red Springs, North Carolina, has made the move here from 1520. On the 19th of June, they began operations on their new frequency with 5,000 day, 250 watts night, and they are NSP. On 1170 WRTT in Vernon, Connecticut, that station is silent pending a sale, may be silent till sometime in the fall. 1330 WBAS, Crescent City, Florida, that station is silent for an undetermined period of time. On 1480 WABB, Mobile, Alabama, the application to move to 1120 was dismissed in the same action which granted a new facility on 1160 in Mobile, as we noted previously, under new stations. On 1590 WPSL, Port St. Lucie, Florida, target date announced by the station is September of 1985. And finally, on 1600, WQZQ in Lebanon, Tennessee, had applied to move to 1200. That application was dismissed in the same action that granted a brand new facility for Lebanon on 1200, also as noted previously. That's about all for this time. I'm Jerry Starr for AM Switch from the National Radio Club and the DX Audio Service. 73 and good DX.
And can you guess what network news logos those were? The answer on the end of side one. Well, I was talking with Jerry on the telephone. He says he doesn't have a chance to hear WCIT in Lima too often. Well, Jerry, this one's for you.
9 1240 WCIT, where some prizes awarded are in exchange for advertising or promoting the groups or events in which they are associated. Some portions of today's programming were mechanically reproduced. WCIT Lima, with studio transmitter link WDP93, concludes another broadcast day. WCIT is owned and operated by the Riggs Broadcasting Corporation, transmitting on the federally assigned frequency of 940 kilohertz and transmitter located on 4th Street with studios in the broadcast house 1301 North Cable Road. In compliance with the FCC's authorization to operate daytime hours, WCIT leaves the air at sundown to avoid interference with CBM, a Canadian radio station. We invite you to tune to our sister radio station, Stereo 105 WLSR. We hope you have enjoyed today's broadcast from WCIT. With this hymn, our thanks and good evening.
And you might wonder what Lima's other AM radio station sounds like. Here's a top of the hour ID from WIMA, which is on 1150 here in Lima, Ohio. And John Bowker, this one is for you.
For tomorrow night, again, clear to partly cloudy with a low of 61. And Tuesday, partly sunny and warm with a high of 83. We have 77 degrees at 1150 WIMA.
11, the leader. 1150. WIMA, Lima.
This is the DX Audio Service.
Well, John and Jerry, there you have it. The two AM stations here in Lima, Ohio, WCIT at 940 and also WIMA at 1150. Those are the two stations which keep me from DXing those frequencies too frequently. Maybe on the next edition of the DX Audio Service, I'll record some of my other pests which get into the area here pretty good. Anyways, you know, your DXing doesn't necessarily have to keep you between 540 to 1600 kilohertz. Often there's some interesting things to hear at the top and the bottom of the dial. Case in point, in the top end column, and also in the International DX Digest column, are some logging sent in by DXers, which they've heard some interesting stations, which I like to bring to light at this point. First of all, at 1615, Art Peterson of Richmond, California, heard Ahura, New Zealand. And that was back on June 5th of 85 at 12:54. Heard it come in on some decent skip. And he made the note that he finally heard that at home instead of at his beverage site, which is obviously showing that the skip from New Zealand was fairly good. I just hope that Art had a chance to look on a couple other frequencies, maybe found a couple other down-under stations there. On 1700 kilohertz, Bruce Portzer heard a man talking in Japanese. This was back on May 26 of 85 at 11:03. He says the conversation sounded very casual with a lot of ahs at time, and it was also upper sideband modulation. So maybe that was one of those cordless phones, but again, maybe it was something from over the other side of the Great Pond, for example. I'd like to turn to International DX Digest now, which is edited by Chuck Hutton out of Atlanta, Georgia. Here's several entries from DXers who have written into his column of stations that they've heard. Brian Vernon was very active on the upper part of the dial. Brian lives in Elsa, Yukon Territory, and has three beverage antennas. Quite an impressive little antenna farm there, Brian. And what he heard was on 1692 kilohertz, Sydney, Australia's VL2UV. And that was back on April the 16th of 85 at 10:08 p.m. What he heard was a female with talk about the STS-SX computer program with a couple mentions about the University of NSW. Had some poor signal on it, but some very clear audio. He says, though, he didn't hear anything on 1720. Sorry about that, Vernon. Can't help you with that a bit. On 1629 kilohertz, he heard 2RPH, which is out of Paddington, Australia. And that was, again, on the 16th of April at 11:33. He heard a male announcer with an ID, but local electrical noises were too high to pick it out, really. Then a female read a news story about the princess being fathered by a former German SS officer. Gee, maybe you should explain that to us, okay? Had some poor signal, and it was the only station noted, though, on that frequency. And another Australian popped up. Which was 1PHR out of Canterbury, Australia. And that, again, was on the 16th with a male announcer clear with an ID It was one PHR and not one P, one RPH, as listed in the WRTH. And on the 17th, at 10:45, a brief ID, again mentioning one PHR, station mixes with another, probably it was a W4RPH, but didn't peak enough for fair reception at that location. Also, another station which he heard, which was very impressive, was out of Ohura, New Zealand, on 1615 kilohertz. And what he heard was back on the 17th at 10:07 was the letters O and R in Morse code. He said, though, it was a very, very poor signal. Another DXer, George, and I hope I'm pronouncing this DX name right, Henkel, I believe, out of West Ipswich, New York, heard the Vatican station on 1611 kilohertz, and that was back on April the 14th at 4:20. And that was with German language, Celeste interval signal, and a very excellent signal. Also, another station which gets in very good, which was logged by Richard Wood out of Hilo, Hawaii, is West Germany's station in Langenberg on 1593 kilohertz. It was picked up on April the 18th at 4:35 in the evening. Very good with some reggae, influential vocal pop music, and then German talk by a woman. Also, it was a very far cry from their usual program of kind of Muzak German pop music. However, he notes that on the 5th of April, they had oldies tunes and a very good signal. And that is very possible to hear here in the Midwest. That's 1593, and often if you just set your dial up there, in my case, all I have to do is listen, I believe, for WAKR in 1590, and just listen for that 3 kilohertz heterodyne, in which case I can start working for it and hopefully be able to hear them. I personally haven't heard them. Now it's going on probably about 3 years, but again, I haven't really taken the time to track them down. But Langenberg, if I remember right, was operating, and maybe still is operating, at darn near a 500,000 watts. At the other end of the dial, it's not impossible to hear USSR radio stations down in what is called the long wave band. However, I'd like to point out that they are very possible, given the right conditions and a fairly decent antenna system. For example, DXer Vernon there picked up 4 of the USSR stations. This was back on March the 9th, and they were the USSR stations on 182, 191, 236, and 245 kilohertz. So you might be able to hear the other side of the world, more or less, by tuning up to the ends of the dial. Also, some other interesting loggings which get in from time to time are stations which are either mysterious or are deemed pirate radio stations. There was a logging by our friend Mr. Vernon, which seems to be the only DXer that was doing any DXing on the end of the dial here. On 1620 kilohertz, he had an un-ID'd station on the 7th of April at 11:08 with a BBC comedy, and it sounded something like Daddy's or Dad's Army. He said it was fair briefly and then did a little bit of fading. Also on 1629 kilohertz on that same date at 12:05, a male with a news story about home rule for New Caledonia. Though he said it was quite a very poor signal. Another interesting station which was picked up, and this logging, by the way, is from the Domestic DX Digest column, which is edited by Dave Schmidt of Newcastle, Delaware, was a station picked up by Hank Holbrook, who lives in Maryland, and that is a Traveler's Information Service station. Now, what a Traveler's Information Service station is, usually they're very, very low power, and in most cases, they use what is called a buried coax antenna or a leaky coax antenna, which is meant just to radiate a few hundred yards. But under some conditions, it's not entirely impossible to hear them 200 or 300 miles away, especially because they're on somewhat clear frequencies, up at 1610 and also at 530 kilohertz. However, there are some TIS stations mixed in the normal AM jungle. It's just a matter of digging them out sometimes. Anyways, what Hank heard was the Rockville, Maryland TIS station on 530 kilohertz. The call sign is KNIC-273. And what he heard was back on 5-4 of 85 at 752. And he heard the Washington Airport TIS with information about road work that was being done. And he received a verified report via a pre-printed card. And they are on, by the way, 24 hours. So you might want to check out 530 kilohertz for KNIC-273 out of Rockville, Maryland. Just by chance, you might be able to hear them. Also, I should make note that Bill Townsend also heard that same TIS station back on 6-9 of 85 at 2202 hours with road conditions, on I-270, and it was, of course, a repeating tape loop. So listen for those TIS stations. Sometimes you can hear some interesting things on 530 and also on 1610 kilohertz. Daytimers deserve new AMs. So goes an article which appeared in Radio and Record magazine. Daytimers should have preferences for new channels when Region 2 expands the AM band to 1705 kilohertz later this decade, the NAB and ABES says. The suggestion was one of several responses to two inquiry notices for the 1986 Regional Administration Radio Conference, or the RARC, in which Western Hemisphere countries will decide how to use the new 100 kilohertz of the AM band. 10 new AM frequencies will be available to major metropolitan areas as well as rural areas, according to FCC attorney Jonathan David. For daytime operations on the new band, NAB recommends a 5 kilowatt minimum power level, which would provide a non-directional daytime service area of between 20 and 25 miles. The NAB also suggested nighttime operation at a 5 kilowatt maximum and a 1 kilowatt minimum. The FCC docket number on that, by the way, is 84-752. I'd like to remind you that my address has changed. We had a little kidding there at the beginning of the audio service on the street address, but again, it is 706 McKenzie, and you can spell it either way, M-A-C or M-C-K-E-N-Z-I-E in Lima, Ohio. The zip code, by the way, is 45805-1835. My telephone number is area code 419-224-1335. And if you get the answering machine with the crazy message on it, remember that it is a Vox unit, which will allow you to talk, I think, up to about 270 minutes before it actually times out. So if you wish to leave a muse on the machine, please feel free to do so, or send it in on a cassette or tape or whatever. Which, by the way, we don't have any muses to report for this edition of the DX Audio Service on Side 2. Hopefully, maybe we'll get some members involved. Be sure to drop us a muse and let us know what some of your interests are, what types of receivers that you use for your DXing, what stations you've heard in the past couple months or so, and information about yourself, as well as if you feel so inclined, ask questions that you'd like other DXers to respond to. Again, this is your service, and please feel free to use it as much as you possibly can. Well, before we conclude side one of this cassette, the answer to the trivia question. Well, the answer is the ABC FM network. Threw you a slight curve there by going to FM, but that was the FM network for the American Broadcasting Company. Here are those news logos again. Wait a second, now that's not ABC, that's CBS. I think we got our networks all mixed up. Anyways, on the next edition of the DX Audio Service, we'll have another Name the Network, so we call it. And perhaps we'll go back 20 years with our next trivia question. So join us next month here on the DX Audio Service. That wraps up side one of this cassette. On side two, Phil Wayne will be joining me along with Bob Walker and newcomer John Bowker with news and information about radio and DXing. So see you on side two with more of the DX Audio Service for August 1985.